Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In September, Ismail Sabri Yaakob's government and Pakatan Harapan leadership signed an MOU on transformation and political stability, which promised to implement a slew of institutional reforms and to not call for the dissolution of parliament before July 31st of 2022. Now, this in exchange for Pakatan's conditional support or conditional promise to support Budget 2022 and related supply bills. Now, have these agreements been honoured? And what could scuttle them? What are we learning from this process, which was touted as a historic moment in the country's modern political history? Our first guest tonight is Tony Pua, Member of Parliament for Damansara. Tony, we understand that a good number of the items under the MOU have been fulfilled, have been honoured, but we also hear voices now, particularly from UMNO, suggesting that perhaps the MOU's presumed timeline until the middle of next year may in fact not be honoured. Are you concerned that we might see this MOU cut short?
I'm absolutely concerned. The main reason being that UMNO wants the MOU cut short so that they can have elections early. And the reason why they want to have elections early is because the court cluster wants to get out of jail, get out of the current predicament they are in. And they believe that in general elections, if they win, then they would be able to achieve their dreams. I think that's simple as that. Why the current leadership in UMNO wants an election soonest.
But Tony, do their requests have merit? Do their requests to cut the MOU short, might that happen?
That can happen for several reasons. That can happen if, for example, the Prime Minister Ismail Sabri feels that he has no choice but to abide by his party leadership, which includes people like Dato' Zahid Mendidi and Dato' Sri Najib Razak. So, if he feels that he has to and he's forced to by his party, he may succumb to the pressure to call for an election. Or alternatively, some of our Pakatan Harapan supporters perhaps or leadership within Pakatan Harapan might call for the MOU to be terminated simply because they are not happy that the group of people whom we call the court cluster are getting away from some of the perpetrated crimes that they have been charged for. So these are the risks that we are facing today, and we are waiting to see what happens next.
Yeah, Tony, so we understand, I guess you are referring to Penang Deputy Chief Minister, Second Deputy Chief Minister, P.
Not
Ramasamy.
Not just him, I think there are many within
many others, yes.
But they are calling for it.
Yeah. Right. So can I just ask you to verify, you know, whether there is a connection between the decisions made at the Attorney General's chambers with regard to corruption cases, some of them have been dropped or the appeals have not been heard, are pursued, so on and so forth, and the MOU. Is the MOU really allowing kleptocrats to get away with their crimes?
Anyone who says that fails to understand the fact that the moment Muhyiddin lost power, I think we know the history of that, and an UMNO Prime Minister gets elected as a result, okay, the likelihood of those from UMNO who are involved in corruption getting away scot-free becomes extremely high. It becomes almost a given. I mean, it would be naive for anyone to expect that once you have an UMNO Prime Minister, the entire UMNO leadership, which is facing corruption charges today, will actually be sent to jail. So the issue of them getting their charges dropped has to do with the fact that we now have an UMNO Prime Minister than the fact that we have signed an MOU. The MOU is not about how you run the country. The MOU is about what we have agreed they would do, the reforms that they will implement, the Prime Minister Ismail Sabri will implement in exchange for support. And these reforms are extremely important, including UNDI 18, which is getting ratified by the middle of this month, including the MA63 to respect the autonomy and special rights of Sabah and Sarawak, including parliamentary reforms, for example, which is in progress, where more committees have been set up, a fairer distribution of members within these committees that are monitoring the respective government ministries, and as well as the most important one, which is expected in the first sitting of next year, that is the Anti-Hopping Act. I mean, the whole point of wanting this Anti-Hopping Act is that I think Malaysians have been outraged by the fact that politicians in the country can hop parties and change governments according to their whims and fancies at any time. And that creates a mockery for democracy in Malaysia. So all these reforms are important, and that's the reason why the MOU is signed.
Tony, but just to follow up on Sharad's question, I mean, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions or misunderstanding about this MOU. You've explained it to us quite concisely and clearly, but why do you think the communication about this MOU has failed so drastically? I mean, Kit Siang said there's widespread miscommunication about this MOU. Where do you think the failure of the communication strategy was here?
I think it comes from the fact that there are leaders who are not interested in any form of cooperation with the government at any cost, regardless of the possible positive outcomes from such cooperations. Regardless of the fact that the negative aspect of the current administration, such that the likelihood of those charged for corruption getting let go, is a given, regardless of whether you sign the MOU or not. If you don't sign the MOU, they are going to get away. If you sign the MOU, they are still likely to get away. So the MOU is actually irrelevant in that process. What the MOU does is to actually secure the other advantages, the other reforms that we have, the people require from the government. So I think that tension or that misinformation comes from those who really just don't want any form of cooperation and who prefers to oppose, even if it is a lost cause. I think perhaps there's okay. merit to yeah.
Yeah, but Tony, could you help us understand why is it that the judicial system or the criminal justice system is not, and I understand it's part of the MOU, like strengthening the criminal justice system, why isn't that yielding results? Why isn't that holding against pressure?
What the MOU says is that the government must respect the independence of the judiciary. The Attorney General Chamber is not part of the judiciary, it's part of the executive. So what happens is that the Attorney General Chambers gets the choice to whether withdraw charges or drop charges or to pursue any charges that they deem fit. So the AG Chambers is subject to potential political interference or political interference is the right word today. So we are not talking about judicial independence in this particular case. We're actually talking about the executive in power.
Tony, a quick one. Are you happy with the progress of the MOU so far?
I think the progress has been relatively smooth given the circumstances. I think the biggest reform that I'm keeping my fingers crossed for it to happen really is the Anti-Hopping Act in whichever forms that it will take to be tabled by March next year. And that have major future implications for Malaysian democracy. That will be a reason for people to come out to vote again in the next general elections. Otherwise, the response I get in the public today is, why bother voting? I mean, people change parties all the time. So it is extremely important.
Absolutely. Running out of time. Very quick question. Yeah. If this MOU fails, when do you expect it to fail? Is it imminent? I mean, we're talking weeks, months, days.
I think failing can be any time. It could be when the budget is up to for vote on the, if I'm not wrong, 12th of December. Or 13th of December, one of those days, or when the Court of Appeal decides on Najib's case on 8th of December, or when the UMNO Supreme Council forces Ismail Sabri at any point of time over the next 2 months to terminate the MOU. So there could be various reasons and causes for the failure. It is for the leaders who are supporting the MOU for the betterment of the people in the country, to persuade the respective parties, the naysayers, to maintain the MOU, to persist with the MOU, so as to create a better democracy for Malaysia.
Tony, thank you for your time. Tony Poy, MP of Damansara there. A quick break on Consider This. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Amanah di tangan kita. Adat, budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan
dan maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sekolah. This is orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dikehendaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Asrama Mahat Tahfiz Jabal.
Bila sentuh soal berita, tiada masa untuk tunggu.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. We've got Tricia Yeo on the line. She's the CEO of the think tank Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or better known as IDEAS. Tricia, I mean, looking at the deliverables that were promised under the Transformation and Political Stability MOU, would you say that progress is going well? I'm just wondering what some of the major achievements have been of this MOU for you so far.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me again. I think that today is a particularly a good day to talk about the MOU, at least on one front, because we just got the news today, this evening, that the Undi 18 cause has something to celebrate, because the news came out that it's been gazetted by Federal Gazette. And at least from what we've seen on Twitter and looking at the Federal Gazette itself, that the voter registration lowering to 18 years old and automatic voter registration has been gazetted. So it will be implemented on the 15th of December. And this is just in time before the deadline of the end of the year, on the 31st December. So on that front, I think that that's something to celebrate. And we'd like to, you know, take every victory as they come, right, given the bleak times that we're in. In terms of the many other commitments, there's the commitment to tabling the anti-hopping bill by March, as well as limiting the Prime Minister's term to 10 years. I've not heard anything about the limiting of the Prime Minister's term yet, But I have seen a survey that's been going around by Bahyu, the law department under the Prime Minister's department, collecting information and basically public feedback on the anti-hopping law. And I just happened to come across it, and I actually did it today, just ahead of the interview, just to see what kinds of questions they were asking. I would say that the questions are not in-depth enough in any way to really collect the real sort of feedback, and the answer options that were given in the questions were also very dichotomous. So it was just like, okay, yes and no, like what should be considered party hopping, what should not be considered party hopping, and what are the different circumstances around that. So, but on the good side, I mean, in good light, it means that there is something being done about it. I just hope that the consultations will be, done in a much more meaningful way than just this public survey, which doesn't even allow us to, put in very meaningful answers to the questions. So those are the ones that are supposed to be tabled by March next year. But I want to kind of link the party hopping to something else. Yes.
Right. Tricia, just as we are running out of time, it seems like the MOU might be running out of time. Speaking to Tony Pua just now about pressures to scuttle this MOU, what do you think about that? Is this just the growing pains of our democracy that we'll have to contend with the fact that the political configuration isn't conducive for the longevity of this MOU?
I think it's difficult for people who have been so used to operating on one side of the divide over another. We have to remember that the political fragmentation that took place since 2018 a little bit, and then much, much more from 2020 onwards, is a very new phenomenon. People are just not used to bipartisanship. Malaysia has never been, on this bipartisan approach. In fact, only 18 is probably one of the first few laws that receive bipartisan support. Whereas in other democracies, bipartisanship is very common, especially when there are parliamentary select committee systems where they work together in the committee to work out something well before things are tabled to parliament. And so parliamentary select committee system, which again is just only now flourishing, or I would maybe not use the word flourishing, but at least we do have 10 PSCs in place. It's so new that I think it's time that the political parties and civil society alike start to think along that kind of bipartisanship line. And if they're not comfortable with that, then this is where MOUs can get scuttled. And I think it's a real pity, because there's a lot of great reforms in there that could be achieved. And I do hope that everyone within political parties and civil society can sort of think beyond this sort of partisanship, because evidently this is not going to be easy going forward. There will not be a big majority block one way or the other. We have to learn to work together, even when it feels uncomfortable to do so.
Right. Tricia, just coming, I agree with you on the wins so far and a lot of great reforms in this MOU, but a lot of the points in the MOU were very vague, were scant on details. What is ensuring independence of the judiciary and, especially on the Malaysia Agreement 1963? How are we going to make sure that there are real deliverables on these specific points?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, I was disappointed in some things not being fleshed out. So, for example, while they put equal funding for government and, other opposition members of parliament, in fact, that was not stated in the MOU. It only stated those who signed the MOU would get equal constituency development funding. But later on, it was announced that all MPs would get it. However, from what I have seen several MPs talking about, they've said that they've not received the equal constituency development funding. So this is a problem. So the problem is when you don't actually make this institutionalized or put into some form of a legal framework, this is when it can just go down the drain. Because as you correctly pointed out, if we are not going to spell it out in the law or in some kind of regulation, then it's going to not be upheld. But I just want to put one more thing in before I know that time is always running out. Political funding law was not included. And I think that's a great pity, because political funding law has been something that even, under the previous BN administration, they had been talking about. So I know that there's a draft there. And I want to say this, right? Anti-hopping law is not addressing the root of the problem. Why are people hopping from party to party? they're hopping from party to party because they want to get equal constituency development funding. I mean, that's one of the reasons, okay, of the many reasons. And therefore, what it means is MPs are hopping because the parties are unstable. We have a very unstable political party system. And unless we address the root of the problem, we need to strengthen the parties. And one way of strengthening the parties actually is to provide public funding of parties, which can be included in a political funding law. So if we address the root of the problem, strengthen the party system, let's try to avoid hopping, because hopping is absolutely, I agree with your commentator before this, it is not enabling any stable solutions for the country in many terms, economics and politics-wise.
Thank you, Tricia. Well said. That was Tricia Yeo of Ideas. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more. Stay tuned.
Amanah di tangan kita. Adat, budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan
kita boleh maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sifat Islam. This is orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dikehendaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Asrama Mahat Tahfiz Jabang.
Bila sentuh soal berita, tiada masa untuk tunggu. Kepada anda kami bawakan fakta, susulan dan kupasan yang terkini. Tiada drama dan tiada pengulangan.
Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Joining us now, we have political scientist Wong Chin-Huat. Chin-Huat, the bipartisan MOU, when it was signed, it was dubbed, you know, a historic accord. It was said that it will end decades of winner-takes-all politics in Malaysia. I'm just wondering now, a few months down the line, what are you learning about the process of this MOU, especially about bipartisanship in Malaysia?
I think it's a great success. It's a silent revolution in our politics because that we now have professional roles allowed for opposition MPs in exchange of government survivor. This should have been done whether or not the government survivor is threatened, but it was not done under PH, let alone BN. So it's good now that we have this. And to cite one example, we're going to have a supplementary budget that you're going to have 45 million ringgit to be given to the select committees, the auditor generals, and also on items related to women's welfare. Now, this is actually part of the negotiation between the opposition MP and the finance minister. We never had that before.
Right, Gino, I understand, you know, some of the things that can be achieved using the MOU process, but it seems to be predicated on, as you said, the survival of an administration. Now, if in the future a party can hold on to power or take Putrajaya convincingly, Do you think that that will be a disincentive to continue any of this, and that we might actually see a reversal of some of the gains that have been made through this MOU process?
And this is why exactly we need those reforms to be legalized and irreversible. So some of them, if we're going to have an anti-hopping recall law, you're going to have a term limit added into the Constitution, it's going to take much trouble for them to be removed. However, just now Tricia talked about the Equal Constituency Development Fund. This is just merely an executive decision. Of course, it can be easily reversed. What we need, therefore, is actually for more things to be done. And why so? Because G50 may produce two extreme possibilities. If Malacca were to repeat again with low turnout, and you could actually have another government with two-third majority. Or on the other hand, if G18s come back to it, after the Sheraton, you're going to have another hung parliament. So we need to fix our parliament before having G15. This is the first time at the federal level we have midterm change of governments, and this is the second midterm government. And we should let it run the course, but not really just to prolong the lifespan of this government, but rather use the time to fix the system. So whichever government come in whatever form, then we have a system that works for all Malaysians.
Well, you know, the reforms, part of the reforms were about that, right? And we've been talking about the anti-hopping law in the show. And I'm just wondering, are you happy with the progress of the reforms that were promised under the MOU so far? Good news today about the Undi 18 reform, but what about the anti-hopping law? What about other parliamentary reforms and judicial independence? Are you happy with the progress so far, Chin Huat?
No. On the anti-hopping law, I must say that if the government should not keep that law as it's something we're going to negotiate and decide and then throw it back to the House. If we have a government backbencher in Azalina who has tabled twice the bill, why shouldn't that bill be discussed? Because once that bill is being taken, the private member bills is discussed and adopted by the government. The government can do more changes, but the process will be open. The public get to learn what it is. And we should not, the AGC should not just come out with a long list of questions. Some are technical, others are not clear enough, as if like this is going to get them the answer. And some may even question whether are they serious about this. However, having said this, I think both the government, the Prime Minister especially, after Malacca, and the opposition, both have the incentive to get this going. So they would table something by March. The question is that, are we going to see an anti-traditional, anti-hopping law that's going to give power to the party leaders, or we're going to see an anti-hopping recall law that gives the power to the public? We have a problem with politicians.
Okay, very quickly, sorry, we're running out of time. Very quickly, Tony Pua signaled that, a premature end to the MOU. He says lots of pressure on the Prime Minister at the moment. Do you see this MOU process being scuttled in the near future?
No. The reason being that unless Ismail want to surrender power, he can hold on. The public has no appetite for a G15. So especially with the new variant. So he can survive as long as he wants to. And if he deliver, he can actually get the MOU to go longer, as long to deliver more. We need more. For example, AGC reform, political public funding for the parties and so on.
Right. Thank you so much. Political scientist Wong Chin Huat, they're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.
Good night.